Well, so I, you know this about me. Most people who listen to this, if people listen to this, have heard this at some point, but I'm realizing more and more that I get these like weird obsessions, and they come in phases.
Oh yeah.
And I found mine right now, okay. And it's really weird. Like no one's gonna hear this and be like, "Oh, that's cool." Everyone's gonna be like, "That's so weird." Also, it's so you.
It's not like bougie oatmeal or something, is it?
No, it's not. It's nothing like that. But I'm wondering if you have anything like that. If that happens in you.
Oh yeah, that's been a thing my entire life.
Okay.
Like, I remember when I was a kid, I watched the Kevin Costner Robin Hood movie, and then I became obsessed with the Robin Hood story and archery. And we had a yard sale, and my dad said, "Any of your stuff that you sell, you get to keep the money." So I set up my own booth with all this stuff, and I sold enough to look in the Cabela's catalog and get a compound bow.
Wow.
Never did anything with it. But I got obsessed with that for, and it was like,
yep,
2 months.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
been my entire life. So yep. what's the current mini?
It's so stupid.
I'm ready.
Man, it's bad because this is like, this is recalling like the water tower thing in my life. I'm realizing it, but it's so dumb. There's a
for those of you who don't know, that's where Thomas's mother would drive him around after dropping his sisters off at elementary school to see every water tower in the city of Oak Ridge.
I don't know why. This was my idea to start the episode. This is stupid. So there's a tree called an ash tree.
Okay.
So they make most baseball bats out of everything. They are getting completely destroyed, and they will be extinct from the earth soon, you know, like because of this little green bug called the emerald ash borer. And so my weird obsession right now is when I drive around town, I'm looking for giant dead trees and trying to figure out if they're ash trees.
Wow.
But it's all because I'm sad about this.
Do you put on like Elliott Smith or The National or something while you're driving around?
I had to stop listening to The National, but I used to allow
just like Counting Crows or REM and Thomas just driving around looking for dead trees. Everybody hurts.
The day is long in the night. No, it's so stupid.
Now I'm just seeing Dwight.
yeah, man, it's so stupid.
Are you going to go on a full out war with these bugs?
No, there's nothing I can do about it. It's just like...
Or is there?
Nope.
Not with that attitude.
There's literally nothing. And I feel hopeless and helpless for a tree. I'm such a weirdo.
Would you literally hug one?
No. But I did. It's so stupid. It gets... The bugs get up under the bark and they like worm their way around.
Yeah.
And then all the bark falls off and then the tree just dies.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things that I learned as a kid was like... If you were to cut like a 3-inch stripe of bark around a tree, you just killed it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so sad.
Yeah. It's so sad. And they're just dropping like flies because this bug came over on somebody's ship or something like 20 years ago.
Oh my word.
Yeah. This is probably the most boring intro to our podcast ever. This is what happens when you put me in charge of the intro.
When the day is long.
Honestly, though, I do miss The National. That was my workout music.
What? You put I have sad?
To, yes, because otherwise, if I listen to sad music any other time in the day, it'll affect me for the rest of the day. So I would let myself listen to sad music when I work out.
Mm.
Because it's like, okay, I'm going to counteract the whatever hormone that is going to my body to make me mopey with the one that like is... physical
to make me mopey. mopey tom. Well, you know, this is a funny, okay, so here's my little thing. Like, that is the only time that I listen to like really 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 bad rap music, which a lot of times, like sometimes I'm just in the mood for, I just love it so much,
yeah,
so bad, is like after I've had like a really sweet time with the Lord. Like, we are just vibing. We are just on a wavelength. I'm just like, I've had a moment of just pure like worship. The Holy Spirit has just filled me up. I'm like weeping, driving down the turnpike. And when I'm full like that, I'm like, I'm about to crush some crazy, terrible rap music.
Oh my goodness.
Because
I did not know that about you.
My spirit is so high that I'm like, nothing can pull me down right now.
Oh, really?
This is the only time I can listen to this.
That's amazing. I did not know that about you. Oh my gosh.
There's not much stuff left that we don't know about each other.
No, I didn't know that about you. That is
'cause otherwise I just can't handle a lot of it.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Yeah. It can be hard, but gosh. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm thinking of
sometimes Austin White will send me like a YouTube video of something really bad just to like, he just wants the moment of the conversation to have a soundtrack. And so like, he'll just send the song and I'm like, I'm just going to hit emphasize on this text. I'm not going to listen to it. I'm not in a place where I can handle it.
I need a loop / gif of his like wheeze laugh. I just need a picture of it with sound that I can send anyway.
Well, sometimes he'll send a voice text like that in the, and the only thing the voice text will be is the wheeze laugh.
Yeah.
And I'll always keep them.
Gosh, I would give.
So good.
Oh my gosh. I would give anything for Austin White to interview Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka on this podcast. For those of you who don't know, they're two of the most famous golfers in the world right now and the best golfers in the world who are in this like giant, like
just great beef. Great meme came out of it.
Yeah. And so it just keeps going. They just keep messing with each other.
I love it.
And
so
it's
much.
Hilarious. But Austin gave me the best laugh ever when I quoted something to him about it.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is ostensibly it's a Bible study podcast.
Yeah. I don't think the National listens to this.
REM might.
Michael Stipe does not listen to her.
You got something you want to share with us this morning?
Yeah, I do.
Carry on, dude.
This is like, I'm realizing this little bit, something out of this has become really instrumental in my life.
Where are we headed?
Colossians 2. The letter to the people of Colossae. Colossae? Colossae. Colosseum.
Colosseum. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians.
General Electric Power Company. Chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 6. Just going to read a couple verses. 6 and 7 specifically. So here we go.
Oh, yeah. I love this.
So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Okay. I don't have a ton to say about this, except I'm realizing that like the antidote to, I don't even know the way to word this, but like I'm realizing like the antidote to a lot of things that like negative stuff, crummy stuff, anything. I'm realizing the antidote to any of that in my life is the last bit of that, overflowing with thankfulness. And that is such a vivid image, to be overflowing with something.
Yeah.
And the idea that it is thankfulness is it, like being thankful to me is something that anybody can do. And sometimes it does take work. Like there are things where it's like, I have my gimmies, I have my layups for thankfulness.
Yeah.
You know, like I have my things where it's like, I don't have to think twice about this. I'm just straight up thankful for it. You know, it's like Maddie, you know, like, food, our dog, you know, just, there's just like things where it's like, check. And then like, before you know it, when you start on your layups and if you just take time and literally try to be overflowing with it, you get going and it is cool. And it'll change your posture and mindset quicker than most things in the world to really, because it all comes like gratitude and thankfulness, I'm realizing, come from a place of realizing that I don't deserve something. And when I don't, when I don't have that, when I don't feel grateful, when I don't have thankfulness, I am a giant turd, because I'm in a, mentally, I'm in a place where I'm like, clearly I did deserve. Did I just say that? That has to be cut out.
Sorry. You were in a place, you're in a place where
mentally, when I'm not overflowing with, when I don't have any thankfulness, I'm a massive jerk, because I'm basically saying, like, I deserve all this. Everything I've got, it's me. Like, I'm going to walk around, like, you know, when Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 3 is walking down the street and just, like, that one scene that everybody cringes about. Like, that is me in my life when I don't have thankfulness.
Oh, my gosh.
And I am learning, like, there needs to be multiple times.
Emo Toby?
Yeah.
Emo Mopey Tom is Emo Toby.
Same person. But I'm realizing there needs to be multiple times throughout my day where I have, like, set aside gratitude check-ins.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah, because if I'm not doing that, then I become self-righteous. I become entitled. I become someone who thinks I deserve everything I've ever gotten. I become like a stereotypical white American, honestly. Just like, I deserve all this. I am who I am. I'm from this place.
This land is my land.
This land is my land.
This land is my land.
It's my land. And I don't want to be that way, right? Because I'm not kind. I'm not sweet. I am, as this is saying, like, I am not living my life in Him if I'm not overflowing with thankfulness.
Yeah.
Because to live my life in Christ is to realize, like, sheesh, I don't deserve any of this. People who mentally are there, people who emotionally are at a place of realizing, just second nature, realizing I don't deserve anything I've got. They are the best people. They are the sweetest people. They're the kindest people. They are, like, I think all the things in 1 Corinthians 13 fall into place for them a lot easier. Just like the idea of being loving, it just becomes easier for someone who does not see themselves as entitled, who does not see themselves as deserving, and is, like this is saying, overflowing with thankfulness. And that is what I'm trying. This is not coming from a place of, nothing in this podcast is ever from a place of, like, look at this amazing thing that I'm doing awesome. It's all coming from places where I feel like the Lord is convicting us, because we're basically sharing what we are reading every week. And a lot of times in those times, the Lord is shining a flashlight on something that I super stink at, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, it's like the, you know, the player who's amazing and gets a great deal for 1 year, and then all the money gets in their head and they just start sucking.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like, we're not coming from this saying, like,
Dan Ugla,
check it out. Francisco Lindor.
Yeah.
I'm not batting 800 here. I'm learning this. I've always loved these verses because, kind of from a different angle, because it says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Because the kind of religion that I grew up in was, okay, yeah, like, you, when you accept Jesus, it's all free, and you don't have to do anything, you don't have to prove anything, you don't have to make any promises. But then when you start living with Him, like, you know, then it's about what you do. And that's why I always treasured this verse, because this little passage, because it's like, no, it's not. It never changes off of the freeness. It never turns into, now what are you going to bring to this? It never becomes that. It's always, He's just giving it. Right. He's giving it away for free. It's like, in the same way that you received Jesus, which was completely free, you didn't do anything, you didn't prove anything, you didn't promise anything, it didn't anything like that. You didn't have to clean up your act. You didn't have to become amazing. You continue to walk in that exact same way. It's always grace. He's always giving it.
Right.
And I think so it's like, that was always a treasure to me, just because it's like, oh man, that's so awesome. At the same time, it's the exact same thing that keeps the gratitude train going. I shouldn't have one without the other. I shouldn't have the sweetness and the freedom of, this is always grace. It always will. Every step I take with Him will be mercy. That should also lead to, and therefore, I'm just going to be thankful the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I have no entitlement. And so I've always loved this, just because this, for me, was always the antidote to the hardcore religion of, like, yeah, you got in here for free, but now you got to scrub the floors kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, now you got to show me something now.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to work to earn it. And it was like, no, you don't. It's every single step is grace. And when I am thankful for that, it does make me want to serve. It does make me want to show up and lend a hand. It does make me want to get in this and be a part of it.
That's cool. That's all I had.
Yeah. Hey, I want to look at 1 John.
1 John.
Almost at the end.
John.
Of the
whole John.
Every now and then you bust into Marshall and you just start singing a song.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more of that in my home. The songs I write about our dog are amazing.
The one Marshall does in the very first season about like writing his paper, when he's supposed to be writing his paper and he can't because people keep distracting him for one reason or another. Mm. And he's just like, trying to become a lawyer, doing the responsible thing. He's like in the middle of the night trying to write this paper.
Gosh,
but it always reminds me of you. Okay, 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. That if our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. This is such a calming verse for me. You said something a minute ago about the thing about gratitude being a reset button kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the exact word you used. You talked about having a little gratitude check-ins.
Yeah.
So this is a reset button for me. Like things get out of whack, you zero everything out and start back over. That's what this verse is for me emotionally. The idea that like I can set my heart at rest in his presence. I think that it's easy for me to feel, I've said this before and you know this about me, but like the most uncomfortable feeling for me is the feeling of being in trouble. And
yeah, it's crummy.
And I think it's part of the reason that I hate conflict so much and stuff like that. It's just like the idea of being in trouble is the most,
mine is straight up tension. Anytime there's tension, I just am like the worst job in the world to me would to be like a string on a guitar. You're just like, just being pulled tight the whole time.
You just anthropomorphized your guitar strings.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, yeah, it's just like the feeling of being in trouble. And it's just so easy for me to feel that way. Not only with people, but with the Lord. And like, this didn't go well yesterday, or I got distracted. And I just realized at the end of the day, Lord, I haven't checked in with you in so long. Like, I don't remember the last time we talked. And it's just so easy for me to feel like, well, therefore I'm bad. Therefore I suck.
Yeah.
Therefore you're mad at me. Therefore I've let everybody down. Therefore I shouldn't be in the ministry position I have. It's just easy for that to avalanche.
Yeah.
For me.
100%.
And so John says, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. I'm like, ooh, I want to do that. I want to set my heart at rest in his presence. And he says, here we go. If our hearts condemn us, and I'm like, oh, me. That's my heart's instinct is to condemn me. Yeah. Is to make me feel like you're in trouble. Everybody's disappointed in you.
Right.
Especially God. Mm. And you got a problem with everybody.
Yeah, that stinks.
Yeah. It's like, if our hearts condemn us, I'm like, oh, me, my heart condemns. He says, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. And I'm like, and I literally can feel the tension releasing when I read those words. Mm. And sometimes I forget that this verse is in here and I'll go look for it to like, just almost to say like, wait, did I make that up or is that really in there? Mm. And it's like, hey, if your heart condemns you, God is bigger than your heart. He's smarter than your heart. He knows everything.
Mm.
He's right. You're not.
Yeah.
You're not in trouble. And I'm just like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
God is greater than my heart. Like the love of God is bigger than I think it is. The patience of God is bigger than I think it is. The kindness of God, the compassion of God for me, the affection of God personally for me, more ridiculously huge than I think it is. And he knows everything. There was a moment where, I made dinner on Monday night and then Christy was at a gym class and I came up to the church, like prayer meeting or whatever. Well, like I left the food out so that Christy could have some when she got back from her class. So halfway through the prayer meeting, I look at my phone and it's like a series of texts all in caps. And it was all from Nora. And it was just like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did it. I can't believe I did it. I'm so sorry. I was so wrong. And I was like, what? And I had to like scroll back through while somebody else was praying and realized she was trying to put the food away and the, like the pan slipped and she dumped the whole dinner on the kitchen floor. Like it was all gone.
Yeah.
Instantaneously. Hmm. The dog runs in and starts licking all of it. Jack has to grab the dog. Because, you know, there's like oil and herbs all these things our dog does not need in her system.
By the way, every time I'm about to feed my dog something, I ask Alexa if it's allowed. And it surprises me how much it's not allowed to feed a dog. Sorry.
I didn't know Alexa knew that.
Yeah, I always ask her.
Like grapes, super bad for dogs.
Don't do that. Strawberries, fine.
Strawberries are good?
Dobby eats all the tops off my strawberries.
But like, so, you know, and it was one of those things where it was like, I was sitting there thinking like, oh, I wish I could apparate home real quick and grab Nora's face and say, baby, I don't care.
Right.
It is all good. One, accidents happen. Mm-hmm. Two, it's just a dinner. Right. Three, we'll make something else for mom. Like, four, I love you. I don't care.
Yeah.
And when I read this verse, it's easy for me to put myself in the Lord's shoes thinking about that moment with the food and Nora. It's just like, oh, dude, honey, chill. You are good. You are not in trouble.
Right.
I love you. This is not a big deal. Mm. It's all taken care of. We have other food, you know? And this is just, it's like, I just love the way John says this. This is how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. He's greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Mm. He gets it. He understands. He's paid for it all. It's all over. We're fine. And this is just such a nice reset for me.
Yeah, it's almost like a feeling that we don't have the right to anymore. Of like being in trouble or...
Whoa.
Yeah, there's...
You just blew my mind.
There's no more... There's no need for it. Wow. And it stinks because it's one that people use a lot of just like, yeah, you're in trouble. Yeah, you suck. Yeah, all this... You know, those are feelings that need to go out the window and never come back. They need to be like... That piece of paper when you're driving down the interstate and your windows are down and you don't think about it and it's just gone. You're like, that thing is not coming back. I don't care what it was.
I just inadvertently littered.
Yeah. Sorry. Like $500 fine. Here we come. Which I'll pay because I don't like to litter.
Except no one has ever paid that.
No one ever has. But there's a lot of feelings that are that way. There's a lot of emotions that are that way that like, just as followers of Jesus, we probably just need to say, I don't really have a right to this anymore.
Wow.
And that's such a cool thought for something that, you know, is not that easy to do and it's just not going to happen. But
yeah,
there's a lot of, I've been taking a lot of like, I don't know, like a emotional excitement, everything, any type of excitement in the thought about things that I won't have to feel when I go to heaven.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of things that we'll never, ever feel again. And I don't know what it's like. You know, when you think about that place where Paul talks about peace that passes all understanding, and I'm realizing that like that's the presence of the Lord is going to be that because of all the things we'll never have to feel again.
Yeah.
That we don't have room for that on earth because there's all these negative things that we feel all the time that aren't going to exist anymore.
And literally if it's beyond understanding, we literally can't understand.
No, it's like those animals that have more color cone receptors than we do and they see things that we can't imagine.
So jelly.
Yeah, I was explaining that to my dad and he was like, that doesn't make sense. I was like, exactly.
You can't process it.
Also, I'm right about this. This is you can't prove me wrong. This is a fact. But you're right, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Right. That doesn't mean that it's not true. Like, you know, like
yeah, the shrimps and butterflies can see
things. Yeah, they can see colors that we can't. It's like, well, that doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense, but it's true. Right. And like the same thing with those things with the Lord. It's like, I'm never going to know what it's like to be scared again.
Wow.
I don't know what that's like here, but in heaven, that's going to be amazing. The idea of being in trouble is going to be out the window.
That feeling where you've got some tension with somebody. So like when their name comes up, your stomach rolls.
Yeah.
That'll be over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's just so many things like that that I just look forward to. And it's been a help. Yeah. It's been a helper lately. Like, when I feel something like that, I think there's a thing that goes through my head a lot, which is just the idea that there's coming a day when that is out the window with that book report that is somewhere on I-40. Or, you know, whatever. Like, that, whatever the thing is, it's just gone. It's gone. It's not coming back.
Mopey Tom's book report on The Giver by Lois Lowry.
It's gone. The Giver. I never read that book.
You didn't read that one?
Nope.
I wonder why you guys didn't have to read that one.
I don't know.
That's actually a good book.
I'm sure it is.
Oh.
That's probably going to be one I don't read.
You gave me the shutdown. There's this face that you make when you're like, we're done talking.
No, that came from a place of my sister has said that to me my whole life.
Oh, okay.
And she's literally about that exact book. It's actually a good book. You should read it. And I'm like, But that dates back to like 15-year-old Thomas, who's like, don't tell me to read a book that I don't have to read.
I know. I'm trying to watch SportsCenter.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch the third installment of SportsCenter. I'm trying to see the top 10 plays to see if they've changed in the past hour since no sports have played.
I got to memorize these stats. What do you think I'm going to talk about at lunch today? Yeah. At Jefferson.
When would I possibly read that book? Because I won't start my summer reading until 2 days before school starts.
Yeah, now we have an Audible account. And so, like, Jack is like, hey, I'm about to body my summer reading. Got him. That's what he says. He just throws in the earbuds.
I did that for my major author. I listened.
Audiobooks?
Yeah, and brilliant. It was like, this is way easier than reading a book I care nothing about.
It's fantastic.
No, I'll listen to a book I care nothing about.
Well, guys, I hope this was a helpful thing to you. It is to me. That thing that you said to me of like this, it's like the condemnation of my own heart is actually a feeling I don't have the right to anymore. That rocked my world.
Yeah. There's a lot of things we don't have the right to anymore. And I don't think those come to our mind very much or things like that. We think of a lot of other things. We deprive ourselves of a lot of things. The depravity thing is a thing Christians like, but
oh yeah, they love it.
It's not with things like that. Like,
yeah. As Potsy would say, that was pure sugar.
Mm.
That was great.
Cavities.
Mm. Yeah, that was straight diabetes right there.
As Potsy would say, type 2.
Just inject it into my bloodstream, that right there. Type 2. Wow. Potsy abbreviates everything all the time, and you have to spend enough time with him just to kind of learn like what his system is.
Yeah.
Cause sometimes he'll be like, are we going to C4? And you're like, what? And then he'll break down this really long explanation of how that was an abbreviation for something that, and the explanation takes 17 times longer than just to say the name of the restaurant or whatever.
Oh
it was.
My gosh. I don't even know what that one would be. C4.
I just made it up.
Okay.
But he's probably got one.
Yeah, probably.
Thanks for joining us, folks. We're going to try to keep Thomas away from sad music as he mourns these trees.
I just like, if you've never listened to The National, I think they're fantastic, but don't.
That's another 7 thing that you have, that you like to listen to sad music on purpose.
Is that a thing?
Hey, do you think that because the ash trees are going extinct, do you think that means the Lord's really coming back soon?
Man, I hope so.
Because without ash trees, we don't have baseball.
I know.
Without baseball, what's the point?
Yeah, I just don't know where they get all this wood from anyway to make all these bats. What do y'all? How many trees y'all cut down a year? How do we breathe?
I'm just imagining Maddie listening to this.
I have
this
weird
part right
convictions.
Here.
I have really weird
just
convictions.
Her laughing. Maddie.
She's not laughing. She's just rolling her eyes because right. She hears these things all the time.
Oh, gosh. It's so fun. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.